Thank you, Nathan. Good evening. It's the fourth Sunday of the month, and the men here take a turn in the evening doing the preaching. So if you're interested in doing that, there's a sign-up sheet. Some space is still open for the year on the bulletin board. So I encourage you to take advantage of that. You see, my title for tonight is A Great Prophet Has Risen Up, and the text will be out of Luke chapter 7. We'll spend most of the time there in verses 11 through 17. And this is the passage where Jesus raises the son of the widow of Nain from the dead. And it's the first recorded instance of Jesus raising somebody from the dead. It's only found in Luke. You won't find it in any of the other Gospels. And I had to think to myself as I was putting this together, well, how many recorded instances do we have of Jesus raising someone from the dead? And this is the first of three. The other two, there's Jairus' daughter and Lazarus. And so we've got three instances. There may have been others that weren't recorded, but those are the ones that we've got written down. So we'll take some time. We'll read through the passage, and then we'll go verse by verse and look at each one in more detail, and then try to make the application to ourselves at the end. But the picture there, that's the modern day location of the city of Nain. That's what it looks like. It looks like today. And the setting for the story is on the outskirts of town, and we have two large crowds that are going to intersect outside of town, and that's where the events will take place. So let's go through and read the passage there, Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. So let's just go through that passage and sort of take it verse by verse there. So there in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened the day after." Well, the first question I asked was, well, the day after what? What happened right before that? And what Jesus had done, he had just healed the centurion's servant at Capernaum. And I've got a map there. I know you can't see it from the seats, the locations, but you've got the Sea of Galilee right there. There's Capernaum, where I've got the pointer. And Nain is right down here. And that's a distance from Capernaum to Nain of about 20 miles. And I don't know how they traveled from Capernaum to Nain. I don't know if they sailed along the sea and then walked the rest of the way. But you know, that's quite a journey for being the day after. I guess maybe if you got an early start, you might get there by the end of the next day. But that would be quite a journey. I noticed the American Standard Version, instead of saying the day after, it says soon afterwards. So, but anyway, that's where Jesus is coming from. He's coming from Capernaum, where he's already healed somebody, and I imagine word is traveling about him being able to heal people. And I also thought it was interesting that Nain is very close to Nazareth. There's Nazareth and Nain, probably only about 5 miles apart from where Jesus grew up. But this is the only time the city of Nain is mentioned in the Bible. Jesus is coming from Capernaum to Nain. And again, that picture that I had up there is it's a present-day Arab village of Nain. They spell it a little bit differently. Instead of N-A-I-N, it's N-E-I-N. And the ruins indicate that the ancient city is much larger, or was much larger, than what is there today, what we see there in the picture. But the city itself was approached by a steep ascent. There were many ancient burial caves on either side of the road leading into the city, so that fits in, you know, very well with the biblical account of the young man being carried out of the city to be buried. Jesus is accompanied by many of his disciples and a large crowd, as we read there. If you look back in the previous chapter when he was in Capernaum, there was already a crowd following him there, but now it describes it as a large crowd. And the widow has a large crowd following her, so we have these two large crowds that are going to collide, and that will provide a lot of witnesses for the events that are to follow. Verse 12, when he came near the city, the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. As far as the city itself, you know, it mentions a gate. There's conflicting accounts as to whether there was also a wall around the city with an actual gate into the city, or it may have just been the entrance between the houses that the road came through into the city. So we're not real sure about what kind of a gate it was, but Jesus was coming near the gate, and they were carrying out the dead man for the burial. And in our culture, if you're driving along the road and you come upon a funeral procession, which is what Jesus and his crowd did, you know, we pull over to the side of the road out of respect and courtesy. We let the procession pass before we continue on. But in the Jewish culture, if you came upon a funeral procession, you were obligated to join in. And that's what Jesus and his followers did. They joined the procession, and you were to also, you know, publicly express your sympathy, not just pull over to the side of the road, but join the procession itself. And it says they were carrying the young man out of the city. With few exceptions, the dead were always buried outside of Jewish cities. I imagine that had something to do with the law of Moses, Numbers 19:11. If you touched a dead body, you were considered unclean for 7 days. So that, imagine they'd want to take the bodies outside of the city to be buried. And again, there at the ruins that they have around Nain, there are a number of caves on either side of the road leading into the city. And this funeral was not just any funeral. Right? A mother was burying her son, and not just any son, it was her only son. And on top of that, she was already a widow. So the grief and the mourning were all that much more amplified, because she likely was depending on this son to provide for her, since she herself was a widow and had no one left to care for her. So her grief would have been very great in this case. And you read about mourning for an only son in the Bible. Jeremiah 6:26. Refers to mourning for an only son as a most bitter lamentation. And in Amos chapter 8, Amos tells the children of Israel that is how they will mourn when the destruction of their nation comes. Amos chapter 8, verse 10, it says, I will turn your feasts into mourning and your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. And this was truly a very bitter day for that widow. On to verse 13, it says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And the compassion that Jesus has here, it's not just something that he expresses in words. He's going to take some action here in a moment to show and demonstrate his sympathy. And the miracle that he's about to perform not only will show his power and demonstrate that he's the Son of God, but it will show his sympathy and caring and humanity for this widow. Because she's not only has the burden of losing her only son, but now she's left all alone. Jesus is going to relieve her of that burden. And not that we're able to raise the dead today to help somebody out, to relieve their pain, but you know, Jesus expects us to also show compassion on widows. We have to show it in a different way than he did, but 1 Timothy 5:3 says, honor widows who are really widows. And the really widows there, that indicates someone who's left alone, has no one left to provide for her needs. And that was the case with this widow here. She was really a widow who is truly going to be in need. Verse 14, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. If you're reading out of the King James Version, yours will have bier, B-I-E-R, instead of coffin. And coffins, as we think of them, were not too common in the Jewish culture. So maybe a bier might be a better description for us. A bier is a framework for carrying. As you can see in that picture there, if you can make it out, that's what that crowd is doing. They're carrying the deceased person. The body would likely have been wrapped in linen, placed on a pallet, and then set atop a wooden stretcher to be carried in the funeral procession. And again, you still see that today in Middle Eastern funeral processions and in other parts of the world. There will often be an enormous crowd following the bier down the street as they carry the person out to their burial. So Jesus comes up to the open coffin, as it says, and the open makes sense because if it was on a bier, that definitely would have been open. He touched it, and those carrying it came to a halt at that point when he touched it. So his actions, in addition to his words, must have conveyed some sense of authority that compelled them to obey. And again, news about Jesus healing the sick, that may have made its way, had already made its way down to Nain, so they could, if they knew who that was that had come up, they may have actually been expecting something to happen. So that may have given them reason to stop to see what he was going to do next. And if you notice here, Jesus speaks directly to the dead. He says, young man, I say to you, arise. He's speaking directly to the young man. And he shows his dominion and authority over both the seen and the unseen. And one day all the dead will hear that voice. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. And here is one small instance of it, but there will be a day when all who are in the graves will respond to his voice. Verse 15, so he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. So Jesus not only restored the young man's life, he came back to life, but he also restored his health and his strength. He was able to sit up immediately and begin speaking, and then Jesus gave him back to his mother. There in verse 15. Then the result that you would expect from the crowd, I know I would have had the same reaction. Fear came upon all. They were in awe of what they'd seen. They glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. And the people recognized the presence of God's power and mercy, even though they may not have actually realized how near they were to God at that moment. They recognized that at least God's power was on display at that moment. And they identified Jesus as a prophet. And they knew that Jesus was at least a prophet of the same order as Elijah or Elisha, because they also had raised the dead. And I'm sure this Jewish crowd here, I'm sure many of them knew those accounts. Elijah, he raised the widow of Zarephath's son, and apparently it was her only son. So a very similar situation where you have a widow losing her only son. That's over in 1 Kings chapter 17. There in verse 23, some similar instance to what Jesus did. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother, just as Jesus presented this son to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." That's in 1 Kings 17. And then Elisha, the account there is in 2 Kings chapter 4. He raised a woman's only son. She was not a widow, but it was the only son that she had. And that happened in a town by the name of Shunem, which is not very far from Nain. So I thought that was interesting that those locations were very close to each other. And as far as them recognizing Jesus as a prophet, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and following, it speaks of the prophets and women receiving their dead raised to life again. So, this was a sign to those people that, we're at least in the midst of a prophet and a great prophet, one that can raise the dead. And in fact, if you go back to Luke and you look in chapter 9 and verse 8, also in verse 19, people even speculated that maybe Jesus was actually Elijah. Maybe Elijah had come back to life, and that's who they were seeing in Jesus. So they speculated that Jesus was in fact Elijah or another one of the old prophets that had risen again. And then we have the other reaction of the crowd. God had visited his people. Now, it's not so much the kind of visiting we do where you stop by and you say hello, right? It's not that type of visiting. But it's more God caring for his people. God has visited his people. God has cared for his people. And in this case, the Father definitely showed his care for the widow in allowing Jesus to raise her son from the dead. But in a larger sense, the Father would show his care for all people, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles also, by allowing Jesus to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. Acts 15:14 says that God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. So he cared not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles also. And that same idea of visiting on a more personal level for us today, we can show our care for others by visiting them. As James 1:27 says, by visiting orphans and widows in their trouble. And definitely, Jesus definitely visited this widow in her time of trouble. Then verse 17, this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. So the news not only spread in Galilee where it occurred, but it spread south to Judea. And if you read verse 18, then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. So it even made its way to John, who happened to be in prison at the time. He heard about this incident. So what's the application for us? Has a great prophet risen up among us? Has God visited us? Can we somehow say those same things for us today? And I'd say the answer is yes, yes in both cases. We have the same prophet, the great prophet, the prophet in Jesus Christ. If you turn back to Deuteronomy 18, as Moses told the children of Israel, God would raise up a prophet one day. Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15. Moses speaking to the children of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. And that's what these people in Nain saw today. They saw the prophet that that God had raised up like Moses. Philip, in John chapter 1, he correctly identifies John or Jesus as this prophet, as the prophet. John chapter 1, verse 45, Philip says, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." After Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples were all in agreement on the subject. In John 6:14, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." You know, thinking back to what they knew from Moses. And if we had any doubt, if you look over in Acts chapter 3, Peter makes the application for us and tells us that Jesus is the one that Moses was talking about. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 22. "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." So he's quoting Deuteronomy 18 right there. "Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." So yes, a great prophet has risen up among us also, Jesus. He is our prophet. We read that there in Deuteronomy 18 and then in Acts chapter 3. And then the second question, has God visited us? You know, as we mentioned earlier, God visited everyone. God showed his care for everyone, Jew and Gentile, by making Jesus the Savior for all who dwell on the earth. And if we look over in Ephesians chapter 1, we can see that it's through Jesus that God cares for us and gives us all the blessings that we have. Over there in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." And we get to decide ourselves whether we will receive those blessings or not. Will we hear the prophet? Will we do as he has said? And just like the widow's son, we too will hear his voice one day. Right? It will either be, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But we determine what the outcome will be by the way we conduct ourselves and live our lives. And that's what you need to consider tonight. Is there anything that you have in your life that you need to make right? You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. We have the baptistry ready behind the screen there. We'd be happy to assist you with that tonight. Or if you are already a Christian and you need to ask for the prayers of the brethren, if you have sin that needs to be repented of, there'd be no better time than tonight to make that right and take care of that. So if there's any way that we can assist you, I'd invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.